And right now it's time to talk to Peter Allam, our legal eagle on duty, and today talking about the Marriage and Divorce Act. Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning, Wayne. A nice topic this morning relating to marriages and divorce. Obviously, the divorce aspect being the sadder part of what should be a happy marriage and a marriage forever. But it happens. And what has come about is that the Matrimonial Act, obviously the new act came, Matrimonial Property Act, let's call it, not Matrimonial Act, but the Matrimonial Property Act, came into force and effect as far back as November 1984, when there was a change from the unreal outer community of property, alternatively in community of property, to various different ones, which most importantly at that time included what was known as the accrual system. So there were a whole lot of different accrual systems that were applicable. You either got married with or without the accrual system. You could get married whereby the parties were able to specify what they were bringing into the marriage, and that if divorce should become applicable, that amount would be taken into account. However, as the years have gone by, and I mean, that's almost, well, it's in excess of 40 years ago that it's been operational, and a number of unfair situations have been found to have arisen by the courts. In fact, there are decisions recently where the courts itself took it into their own hands to say that they were not interested in an antenuptial contract that had been entered into, and made a decision to do an award in a matter, ignoring it. So it led to last year being looked at, October 2023. It's an October 2023 Constitutional Court ruling where the court found that the current Divorce Act was unconstitutional and invalid. The marriage centered on the treatment of couples married out of community of property without accrual. That leaves one party basically down and out, often financially vulnerable, no claim to the other's estate, and one party has this massive estate and the other one is left, as they say, barefoot and looking after children in the kitchen with no assets of any nature after devoting a whole life to a husband in those particular circumstances. So, the current situation is that each party maintains a separate estate, no automatic right to the share of others' assets, regardless of whether they contribute to the household income, maintenance, support, or growth. So one needs to take into account, although it has changed drastically since 1984, but way back in those days, invariably you found that a couple got married, couple planned children, couple had children, the wife stayed at home, looked after the children, saw to their upbringing, their schooling, their clothing, barefoot and cooking in the kitchen, as they always say, and that type of thing. Whilst the husband was at work, building up his estate, putting money away, buying houses, buying cars, buying assets. So the unfairness is there clearly to be seen. A lot has changed since then, because in this day and age, women don't sit back and watch children growing up and that type of thing. They are proactive. In fact, I think in a lot of marriages, the woman is probably the higher earner than the male, and out and working. So the act had to be looked at, and that led to new divorce law act that is going to be introduced. It has not come into place yet, but it's already out and about as to what the provisions will be. And the main thing is that the new bill, spouses who were married out of community of property without accrual, particularly in cases where they have contributed to the growth, being part of the business that might be a private business or something like that, will now have an opportunity, once introduced, to claim a more equitable share, shall I say, during a divorce or estate distribution proceedings. The inequalities are definitely there. One doesn't have to, be anything other than just to have a look at an estate to see how often one of the two parties has done.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the woman. It's not just for women this, it's for either party. You know, you might have the woman that was the breadwinner and the husband at home, which happens a lot today, looking after the home, looking after the kids, and the breakdown comes and the one partner is financially dominant compared to the other. So the new divorce laws will come into effect, and at the moment it's in the hands of judges and lawyers and other authorities having a fairer and closer look to see how the fairness will come into play. You know, if it does come in, the Divorce Amendment Act, which was signed by President Cyril Ramaphosa last year, will come in. It will also have a huge impact on Muslim divorces in South Africa, civil law.
Mm-hmm.
That's an issue that's been a complex situation. You know, they get married completely differently to us. They get married according to their own Muslim laws, and a divorce is simple as stating, I think it's 6 or 7 times, I want to divorce you, or whatever. They don't have to go through the route to the court and things like that, which is quite serious and scary. You know, and a lot of Muslims have left their woman out there destitute with nothing, absolutely nothing, no maintenance, because there's no divorce order, there's no, you know, division of their estate, there's no assets given to the other. Under Islamic law, the man owns everything, you know. So people married under that really, really suffered. So it's going to be a huge change on Muslim divorces in South Africa as well. It will become applicable. Yeah, obviously we can't, in the other countries around the world where you've got Muslim marriages, we cannot interfere with that. But from a South African point of view, that will definitely, there will definitely be an intervention and will be taken into account. You know, there will be a definition of the Muslim marriages, and there will be statutory protection for minors and children of Muslim marriages. And that in turn will then allow for a distribution of the assets upon dissolution of a Muslim marriage, and ordering and authorizing courts to order the forfeiture of patrimonial benefits. So, you know, it's very, very definite that the Muslims will be affected going forward. The real changes is a shift towards a more inclusive and equitable divorce system in South Africa. You know, unjust outcomes just happen every single day in our divorce courts. And, you know, the courts are full all over the country with divorces. Those married in community of property, they may not really see the difference, because, you know, there's a lot of fairness in a marriage in community of property. It has its disadvantages in the eyes of creditors, but marriage in community of property in the eyes of the two partners is basically a split 50-50 to both parties. So although that is ideal when it comes to divorces, it may not be ideal when it comes to the outside world, you know, but that there will certainly be sorted and taken to account. So what is being proposed, let's ask. That's probably what it is with the general law amendment. The proposals there are to allow the court to order the fair asset transfer for spouses who were married out of community of property without accrual. In other words, where the accrual comes in, it can be dealt with to a certain extent, because you come in with a figure and then everything that's accrued from the date of marriage is split fair and equally. So this one allows basically where there was, you know, no accrual applicable, which is the old antenuptial contract, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. We don't share, we don't build together. So that will be looked at a lot closer. And also, you know, there's a lot of problems where people are married with the accrual system, and death is the cause of the dissolution of the marriage. So with wills and estates and things like that, a lot of partners, spouses are left out in the sea on a boat without a paddle, as they say. You know, so it will provide legal support for marriages that have ended in death and where there was no provision, proper division, in terms of a antenuptial contract. The party that will also play an important role will be the family advocate. you know, the Office of the Family Advocate will play a huge role in proving the powers and responsibilities in guiding a fair divorce outcome. Mm. In other words, the children will be properly looked after from a maintenance point of view, from an asset point of view for the other spouse, where they're staying and that type of thing. You know, it'll be the wording of the new act is there to help and to make it easy to understand and apply a dissolution of a marriage or the death and the surviving spouse's share and things like that. So, like I say, you know, this all came about as a result of the Constitutional Court ruling to say that the act is unfair, it's unconstitutional and invalid. So the changes are there. Mm. You know, what we can say is that, you know, a community of property without accrual means that each party owns what they bring into the marriage and what they earn afterwards in their own personal capacity. This can work well. It's not a case of it doesn't work well. In some instances, it does. But often one partner earns a lot more than the other partner. And then the unfairness comes in when the unpaid partner maybe works at home or looks after the children, be it the male or the female. A lot of males these days remain at home, you know, sorting out the maintenance of the home and that type of thing, because the female has got a top job and able to survive and do what the male used to do in the old days. So, you know, it's a way to share wealth, but it brings into account what was brought in before the marriage, which is fair. Mm. A lot of people get married at a very late age these days, or a lot of people come from a broken home beforehand and bring a lot with them. So that will all still be taken into account. The new act is not going to be unfair in that regard, but it's going to assess the position, you know, the length of the marriage, what brought about the divorce, what the circumstances are, you know. So if, for example, a wife stayed at home and looked after the children, they'd have no claim to assets if they got divorced, if there was accrual without any benefit to the other spouse. That means that, you know, it would now come into play. Mm-hmm. We've already done, you know, a thorough one there that it's going to recognize, a thorough chat about the Muslim marriages, which is one of the most unfair ones in our country at the moment. You know, just it's not fair at all on a spouse that's divorced there, because the woman is at a serious disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So therefore, recognize Muslim marriages in law now, whereas at the moment you don't find anything on them. There's no need for, if you're going to get divorced as a Muslim, you don't have to go to court. You don't have to see an attorney.
You just decide you're not married anymore. Done.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Mm. So, you know, the amendment bill was passed last year for Muslims already, and it officially recognizes, you know, Muslim marriages, the rights of the children of the Muslim marriages. It allows the court to redistribute assets and the benefits in those marriages. And, you know, it's therefore a fair distribution if necessary by the court. So they can intervene at the moment insofar as a Muslim marriage, you know, that were not recognized previously is now going to be there. So, you know, the act, the bill was passed provisionally, and it is applicable at this stage there. You know, what it basically means for couples going forward is that spouses who support their partners but don't have property in their name will now receive financial protection. The court can come to their assistance and make, you know, rulings in their favor. You know, there's no longer a situation where, you know, what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours, and we're not going to share anything that I've built up.
Yeah.
People now have the power to jump in and intervene and sort that out. So, you know, you're going to have to look carefully and you need to ascertain what it is. And that all goes back to the very start of a marriage, an antenuptial contract. So if you're out there and you know, getting married soon, you know, sorting out your marriage, make sure that you go to an attorney who explains all of this to you in depth so that you're not caught at a later stage. You know, a lot of people just say, oh, I'm going to get an ANT. Don't your attorney just draft. What do you want? And draft it without explaining properly. Make sure that you go to an attorney who explains to you what the matrimonial act is. You know, they call them the dreaded D's, but divorce is one of them. And you need to discuss that in full. You need to understand what your rights are. You know, one hopes that it never comes in, any of the dreaded D's. But divorce is a terrible one, and one of those that affect people and makes major changes to the party's lives and what the position is going forward. So, you know, the new law will sort out the accrual system. So you'll have pre-84 marriages, and you'll have post-84 marriages, and you'll have the amendment now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they'll explicitly allow for asset redistribution when marriages end in death or marriages end in divorce. So it's purely on the asset side that this amendment is going to have a huge impact. You know, the role of the family advocate and the mediation in divorces is going to play an important role. And you know, mediation is not a final order, but it's something where you try and sort out your differences without a big legal case going on.
Yes, yes.
So that act will have an impact on that. And certainly the findings of the mediator will play a role, because they will be thoroughly checked and sorted and reduced to writing, if I can say that. So, you know, be careful. If you're about to get divorced, make sure that you know what the powers of the law is in awarding from one spouse to another. You know, the judge has the power now to do what he believes is just and equitable, and, you know, it's there. So don't think that you protect it. Don't think that you own a company, it's in the family name, or I own a company, it's in a company's name, and my spouse is not going to touch it.
And be careful, because that can still happen.
Yeah, that can now happen, you know. The court can consider a wide range of contributions. You know, it'll take into account the financial aspect. It'll take into the raising of the family, the managing of the household. And, you know, if there's a non-earning spouse or one spouse that's at a serious disadvantage from an asset point of view, it can make a redistribution order that may not suit you. You know, it might come along and say, okay, transfer so much of your property into your wife's name, or award an amount that must be paid. You know, if the property's all, if the assets are all in property and that type of thing, you're not safeguarded. It's not a case of, my properties are there, I have a cash flow problem. Be careful. They can sort that out.
They can find other ways, you know, of tackling it.
They'll make an order. There are ways and of doing that and sorting it out. You know, so, you know, it's not going to change the antenuptial contracts. They're still going to be done. But you need to make sure that if you're going and you're getting an antenuptial contract, that it will have a serious and fair outcome at the end, should divorce become applicable, or should one of the spouses die, and that type of thing. So think of it. You have a contract. There's new statutory laws that sorts it out. Fairness must be built into it. Make sure that the attorney that did your antenuptial contract discussed and told you all the different ways of getting married with the accrual system in community of property and the like, and that you understand what the position will be in the event of death, divorce, which terminates a marriage.
Well, that makes sense.
You know, accrual does not guarantee complete separation of assets. You need to look at it in a wider and broader sense to say, you know, this is, as an attorney, I will always have a look and see what the two parties do, what the intentions of the parties are. Is the wife going to stay at home? Is the husband going to stay at home? Does the wife have a job that takes her away, and, you know, from a husband that takes them away and out of town all the time, and that type of thing? And the one will build up a huge asset base compared to the other one.
Well, the other one sits at home and...
Couples need to look at it carefully and make a decision in that regard.
The
new changes are there. That's basically what the changes are. And, you know, the amendments are there to the Divorce Act, the Matrimonial Property Act, and, of course, the divorce mediation process. All three of them are affected by the new act that's coming into place. And those are major changes that are going to take place.
And your advice,
that's where we are, right?
And your advice, Peter, would be to see an attorney before getting married, and making sure that you've got your particular situation covered, to safeguard both parties.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's what you need to do. You know, a lot of people, there are a lot of instances where people hide behind a family trust. You know, it's sickening to see that very often families have a huge family trust where the whole family is involved, you know, started by mommy and daddy, passed down to right down to the grandkids, and all the assets of everything are covered by way of a trust. And then a divorce comes along and there's no assets in the name of the partners.
Right.
That's a husband and wife. Mm. And, you know, the wife is expected to walk away with nothing. Well, this new act is going to change all that.
It's
going to force payment out of trusts as well if necessary. The trust is not going to be something superior that you cannot touch.
That you cannot.
If it's shown that you built and enhanced that trust, the family trust, it's going to be easy to get in there and make sure that it's sorted correctly and that a proper award is made.
Wow. If somebody wants to get in touch, maybe they're in a situation, they need to get that advice, how do they get in touch with Alums?
Yeah, they can get all of us at 4 Sansom Road in Berea. That's where we're situated. Telephone 043-7211-018. It's a little side street where Pep Stores is. Everybody knows Pep Stores on the corner. Come down that side street, number 6. Alternatively, they like us on Facebook. Just add a S to Alums, A-L-L-A-M-S, M for Mary, S for Sugar. Find all our details there. And, of course, on Wild Coast FM, they'll find all our details as well, and our weekly chats are all to be found there.
Radio.
Yeah.
Peter, thank you very much. Have a good week, and we'll chat again next week Monday.
Yes. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter. Take care. That's Peter Alum with today's Legal Eagle Chats, and it will be on our website later today, wildcoastradio.co.za.